Welcome to our marketing podcast, where we bring our marketing strategies to you. Today, we are sponsored by our Rapid Results class, our class all about marketing strategies to bring you results as fast as possible. Today, we have me. My name is Ann Hill. Next to me is Haley Pohl. And then we have the CEO of our marketing, Steve Rich. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. So tell us, Steve, talk a little bit about how you got into marketing.
Oh, wow. Okay. I probably started working a little bit early. When I started working in grocery stores when I was 14, my job would be to first ride to the store on my bike at 4 a.m. But I had the keys. I'd open it up and I'd unload trucks. And any sane adult wouldn't show up to at least six. But I had to, you know, the responsibility to do that. And so I had responsibility as an early age. And because of that work ethic, they made me a manager pretty early. In fact, by the time I was a senior in high school, I was a store manager. And that was pretty funny because they'd put the pictures of the managers all up front. And most of the other department managers were men or women in their anywhere from 30s to 50s. Mm. And then there was my cheesy mullet as store manager up there, as you know, about an 18-year-old. But it was neat because it taught me early about getting more sales. It taught me how to read a P&L, how to, you know, the things that were important. It taught me about labor costs and all those type of things. But what I loved the most was because we were an independent store, that we weren't with a chain, the marketing of it could be done by us locally, right? Mm-hmm. Even though they had a few stores, they at that time, I think they had four stores, the company I was with. But I still was responsible for bringing in as much traffic as I possibly could, right? Mm-hmm. And coming up with ideas of how to do that or where to do that, when to do that. And so that was kind of how I started into it. And shortly thereafter, I went on a LDS mission, and then when I came home from that, grocery stores were still after me while I was trying to go to college. Hmm. And I kept falling for, hey, just take 6 months and turn this store around for me, or do that. And so I do a lot of night school, a lot of early morning school, but I kind of drug it out a little bit. My 4 years of schooling was closer to six because of that. But after that time, I really wanted to be in more marketing area. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking for jobs as I was getting close to graduating. And I got a job as a marketing broker, but it was for food products, usually calling on grocery store chains. So I didn't get too far away from it, but we represented stuff like Gatorade or Vlasic pickles and things like that. And our job was to increase the sales of those in our area, you know, with everybody that was selling them. And so it was a good learning time for me to learn about that type of the business. And one of my biggest clients that I was assigned to handle for the company was Associated Food Stores. So I would call on them regularly. And after I'd called on them for about 6 months, this company I was working for, they were having problems, and I had not great feelings about it. They had some integrity issues that I just didn't agree with. And so I was thinking maybe I should leave. And at that time, Associated Foods said, hey, can we meet with you tomorrow for lunch? And I, sure, yeah, I'll buy lunch. We'll go. And they, no, we don't want you to buy it. Just meet with us. And I, okay. And they, can this just be you personally and not you as the company? And I'm like, I'm really not understanding what they're saying, but I'm like, sure. And so I met with them and they said, the reason why we didn't want you with the company is because we want to offer you a job and we want you to come to work for us. And one of the guys said, you know, I have a lot of brokers that call on me, but only one I trust. And so I want him to come to work with us. And so they offered me the job to come into marketing. And as I went into that market department, I was the young guy, you know, I was probably 22, 23 at that time. They gave me 60 or 70 little mom and pop stores and said, okay, your job is to increase their sales and profit. And under their breath, they kind of said, they don't have any money. So they were independently owned. They didn't have a whole lot of money. And previous to that time, anybody that was working with them would just once in a while try to do some little thing to maybe get a little bit more business, but they didn't do a whole lot because they'd use the excuse that they don't have any money. And I, working for the independent grocers and stuff like that, I knew how to do a few things that with a very tiny budget. And so I just started putting together programs, and I started putting together ideas that wouldn't cost the stores very much money, but would still be something memorable in the communities they served. And so we started doing events. We started doing, I mean, little stuff like 50 cells or, everything like Elvis lookalike. We did hula hoop contests in the parking lot. And although those things in a big city may not draw that many people, in some of the small towns where these stores were, half the town would come out and they'd stay all day and they'd buy stuff. And what was really neat is it just took off. In fact, these were the smallest stores that Associated serviced, and the growth of them just started, and word started getting out. And, you know, at first some of these guys weren't used to it, and they would say, "Boy, I don't know if I could stay on your marketing program. I'm having to hire a couple more people to handle all the business," you know, and stuff like that. And anyway, it was kind of neat because they really grew a lot. That first year I was in there, the economy was down, somewhat flat. Most of the bigger stores were just shooting to break even with prior year. And the stores I represented, it had an average of a 32% increase. And so the other stores, the bigger stores, started hearing about that and seeing the results in that. And so I had a bunch of the guys that were on the board of directors and that start to push the company saying, "Hey, we want that new guy doing our marketing. We want him over here." And our CEO came down and closed the door to my little office at the time and wanted to talk to me. And he said, "Yeah, I like shaking up. I like what you're doing. I'm going to shake up the company some more. I want you to be my vice president of marketing." And again, I was like 23. I'd been with the company maybe a year, and there was lots of people above me going up the ranks to president that he kind of just pushed me and put above them. And it was hard a little bit at first just adjusting with the people because they wondered who this young kid was. They'd ask me my wife's maiden name, trying to see if I was related to anybody and got the job that way. And some of the older people will remember there was a show on about a doctor who was really smart at a young age and made doctor. His name was Doogie Howser on TV. And so a lot of people called me Doogie during this time because I was, you know, very young in the company, but I was a vice president. And but I did that for 21 years. And we continued to do the type of thing of event marketing or making things stand out or making things special. And we started having, as a company, we grew tremendously. And we started having other chains of grocers and stuff like that around the country asking how we were doing it. And our CEO would just send me to go speak with them and go talk with them and show them some of the things we're doing and put it out there. And so it's kind of neat to see that. Some of our bragging, our internal team was so creative. The National Grocers Association would put on these contests for all of America and Canada, and they would have advertising contests or marketing contests, and they'd have different categories. They had 41 different categories that they do, and it might be the best produce marketing, or it might be the best case lot type sell, or stuff like that. And they would do the best in USA and Canada. And it was neat. The team I was with, we started winning more than one of those awards, and they would start to recognize, they're like, "We've never had anybody win three of the 41 before, one single company, you know?" And then the last 3 years I was there, we won 11 of the awards, and then 14 of the awards, and then 16 of the awards and in the country. And because they have different judges for each one. So they go, and what I really loved about it, it just wasn't based on clever or artwork. You had to show what the existing sales were and then what they produced, right? What these events or what the marketing produced. And so I got really good at watching that very closely, because that's what matters to any kind of independent or entrepreneur is this marketing going to work? Is it really going to get the sales out there? I mean, it's nice to have my name so that everybody sees it, but if it doesn't turn into phone calls or money, I don't know if it's really that worth it. And so it really taught me to focus on what can you do that will make that make that action? And what can you do to be memorable so that people aren't having to be driven every time by an ad? If they come to like you as a store, if they like, hey, you have these fun events all the time, whatever, you become their store of choice, you know? They're not deciding between you and somebody else. They're just coming to see what the next cool thing is that you're doing. And so anyway, that worked out great. And I did that for, like I said, for 21 years I was there. And one of the neat things that came out of that near the end is I was traveling around to giving grocery stores and that, doing these presentations, seminars, and teaching them how to do different types of marketing. And I did this presentation at this one place in Chicago and at Convention Center. And then afterwards, I'd gone out and I just had my laptop open and I was kind of checking my emails. And this lady came over and she grabbed my papers from what I just presented. And I talked about the power of guerrilla style marketing. And those of you that don't know guerrilla style marketing, guerrilla marketing was a name that was first born through a man named J. Conrad Levinson. And he was an incredible marketer. And he talked about doing things that are different than the norm that stand out. Some people think that means low cost. Quite often it does, but that's not what you're going for. You're going for something that's going to be remembered better, that's going to stand out, that's going to be different. And so, and J. Conrad Levinson, he did stuff like, I mean, he did the Jolly Green Giant. He did Marlboro cigarettes. Marlboro cigarettes was first a women's cigarette. And they went to him and said, we're just not having enough sales. And so he created the Marlboro Man, the cowboy feel, and made that, you know. And today they say 7 out of 8 packages of cigarettes are Marlboro. Not that I condone that or anything like that. But it's amazing what he was able to do with marketing. And he did everything from like Tony the Tiger to Where's the Beef for Wendy's. That was all through J. Conrad Levinson, doing stuff that stand out and that's remembered and used. And anyway, as I talked about this in the meeting, as this lady was looking at the paper, she started quizzing me on guerrilla marketing and who started that. Yeah. And I told her about Jay, and she'd ask me more questions, what it meant and all that. And then she asked me a question that I was kind of surprised. She says, Don, didn't his wife co-write some of the books that he put out? Oh yes. Jeannie did. She wrote some. She goes, hi, I'm Jeannie. And I was so happy I remembered her name, you know.
Yeah.
And to put it out there, but we started talking and she was just great. And she loved what I presented. And she started inviting me to be a part of some of these guerrilla marketing little events they'd have in different places. And, you know, one time it was down in Vegas and we went and it was some executive's home and there was only about 12 people there, but all 12 of those other people that were there besides me, I knew had most of them were authors or marketers that of fame, right? That had won awards or that had great books out and things like that. Seth Godin, some of these others that were there. And so it was so neat to be part of that group, you know? And so I did that for a while where I'd go and she'd invite me. And then finally at one of the guys said, you know, I don't think we've ever made Steve an official member here. We need to do that. And so they would quiz me on guerrilla marketing, and these guys were laughing, you know, as they were doing it. So they were trying to twist me up a little bit or get me, or they quizzed me on the stuff and they said, okay, you pass. I said, great, what does that mean? And so they put me down as one, and I'm now one of 13 master marketing trainers for guerrilla style marketing. Mm-hmm. And with that, they would from time to time call me and say, hey, we need a guerrilla presentation in Texas for this group or whatever. And I would fly and go do those things for them. But the best part of it was it made me part of this group who we still get together about once a quarter. It used to be in person all the time. Now, since COVID, it still is usually just like a Zoom meeting. But what's neat to hear is here's these big marketers from different parts, and they all specialize in different things or whatever. But I'm able to meet and talk with them, and they're able to tell me, here's some things that are going on the East Coast, or here's some West Coast things, or here's some things we're seeing in Europe or some other place. And we talk marketing all the time, and it keeps us right on the edge. And I'm able to bring those things back and use them for my clients who might be just a one office owner in, you know, in Clearfield, Utah or whatever, but they're able to see and hear some of these great things that are going on and the mm-hmm. trends. And so for me, that's why you'll see guerrilla style marketing listed with some of our things there, is because we do always focus on guerrilla style. We look at what else can we do that'll stand out, that'll make a difference, that that, you know, this envelope, you know, from one of our clients, we took, and they'd had so many past clients that they hadn't seen in 6 months. This was a car repair shop. And we decided, okay, here's what we do. We put a letter together, but we also put a plastic boomerang in the letter. And we talked about, okay, we love boomerangs because they always come back, and we love great clients because we hope they come back. Bring this back and come in and get a, whatever, 10%, 50% discount or whatever. But we had a high percentage of those. But everything we look at, we try to say, what can we do different? Not that we can do the same as everybody in marketing, but what can we do different? Anyway, that's long story short, a quick talk about how guerrilla marketing kind of got involved with our marketing and how we use that, those trends and those tools and what we do.
That's amazing. I always remember the story you tell us about the mattress store that you helped, where you had like the big giant mattress dominoes in the parking lot, and you got all of the neighbors involved, so they were excited about the event, and gorillas and all sorts of things. But people were driving by and they saw that event and they wanted to stop because they were so excited, and it became their event that they were really excited about. So you definitely have that expertise to be able to help people with gorilla marketing, and that's something I admire about you, and I love learning from you and all that you have to share.
We only went over the smallest amount of your story. Seriously, there's so much more that you can tell us, Steve. But, and I know we've already talked about this in some of our other episodes, but the knowledge that you have mixed with your drive for creativity makes it so that the creative space in the office is always like one level above almost anywhere else you can be. And that's part of the reason why we are able to drive success for people is because of that creative space. And it truly is very impactful.
Well, thank you. I think it's having incredible team members like you two that makes that part, you know, where we have great ideas, great smart people throwing their opinions and their, you know, how they see the world out. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us today, Steve. And thank you for listening. For more information or to learn more about Steve, go check out our social media platforms.